Makaito, Te Whanau, or Auckland Unitarians, me ngā Unitarians, o leo. Nau mai, haere mai. Tēnā koutou, ngā manuhiri. Haere mai ki tō tātou whānau. Haere mai ki te hui o te rānei. Ko Rachel McIntosh, rāua ko Betsy Marshall, hoko ingoa, ko ngā kai kōrero o te rā mātou. Nō reira, tēnā koutou. Tēnā koutou, tēnā rā tātou katoa.
Greetings to Auckland Unitarians, Unitarians of the world, and to our visitors. Welcome to those in this building, those on Zoom, and those watching at a later time. Welcome to our whanau. Welcome to this space made sacred by Auckland Unitarians for more than 122 years. Our names are Betsy Marshall and Rachel McIntosh, and we will be leading the service this morning.
Mā te whakarongo, ka mōhio. Mā te mōhio, ka mārama. Mā te mārama, ka mātou. Mā te mātou, ka ora. Through listening comes knowledge. Through knowledge comes understanding. Through understanding comes wisdom. Through wisdom comes well-being.
Our opening words are entitled To Learn More About Being Human by Erica Hewitt. Welcome to this morning, this day, this opportunity to be together in community, which is a time of joy, comfort, and sometimes challenges. The Unitarian Universalist congregation is a place where we come to learn more about being human. We're not here because we've figured out all life's questions, or because we think we've got it. We come to learn more about being in relationship together, how to listen, how to forgive, how to be vulnerable, and how to create trust and compassion in one another. Rachel will now light the chalice, and the words for the chalice lighting today are entitled Different Yet United by Pat Uribe Lichti. We come from many places along different paths, bringing different truths. We come with different histories and different realities. And yet we come together as one people, with faith that we can use our differences to heal ourselves and each other, to bring wholeness to a fractured world. We come seeking to find community, to find acceptance of who we are. In this place, we may find others who are much like us and others who are much different. May our lit chalice remind us that we are a people taught by different stories, with many voices, but always one people working for a world where love creates justice and justice gives birth to peace. I invite you now to join me in saying the covenant of this church, which is here. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony. Thus do we covenant with each other and with our God. Our reading is entitled The Central Task of the Religious Community by Mark Morrison Reed. The central task of the religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind each to all. There is a connectedness, a relationship discovered amid the particulars of our own lives and the lives of others. Once felt, it inspires us to act for justice. It is the church that assures us that we are not struggling for justice on our own, but as members of a larger community. The religious community is essential, for alone our vision is too narrow to see all that must be seen, and our strength too limited to do all that must be done. Together our vision widens and our strength is renewed.
And now, by popular demand, we do have a time for all ages, which will be a story that we will project on the screen. Thank you, Kate. The musings today are called Roots Hold Me Close, Wings Set Me Free, hence the wings. Unitarians are a mixed metaphor. Roots from flora, wings from fauna. There is no exact Greek mythical creature to represent this idea, but perhaps we can think of a dryad or tree nymph, maybe combined with a phoenix, the bird who rises. We're a mixed metaphor and a mixed faith, one that values pluralism and whose hymn book is called Singing the Living Tradition. The shared values we spent several services exploring under Clay's leadership last year are expected to be given official status at the 2024 General Assembly of the Unitarian Universalist Association. They are represented in a flower with love at the centre and one petal each for interdependence, equity, transformation, pluralism, generosity, and justice. This image is by Tanya Webster. The shared values represent our living tradition. It is a tradition that has taken us from a Christian faith in 16th century Europe to the pluralist, non-creedal faith of today, where we live the questions rather than seeking solace in definite answers, and where we work in community to transform our own and our shared humanity so that the world can be more just, and so that in our own lives we can find truth and meaning. The shared values can be seen as the wings that set us free. They allow us to pursue our free and responsible search for truth and meaning, to appreciate the interdependent web of all existence, to value the inherent worth and dignity of all people, to seek justice, and to transform like a hungry caterpillar. The shared values can also be seen as the roots that hold us close. Love has been a universal value that underpins every religion, not just ours, as expressed in many different versions of do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or do unto others as they would have done unto them. Pluralism was at the root of early Unitarianism when Unitarian King John Sigismund of Transylvania issued the 1568 Edict of Torda, proclaiming religious freedom. Justice and equity have driven many Unitarian actions, including support for freedom from slavery. The interdependence of all creation has underpinned Unitarian commitment to environmental justice. And generosity, finally, is the foundation of our open and welcoming community, and our sacraments of generosity and koha, and of hospitality in our sharing of kai and conversation. The values also reflect the roots and wings specifically of Auckland Unitarians, who have been meeting here since 1901. To further mix our metaphor, we have a vessel and a foundation in which and on which we can experience both our roots and our wings. This foundation is represented in a history of constitutional documents. We have a paper that anyone can read that outlines the journey of those foundational documents. We decided to call this service Roots Hold Me Close, Wings Set Me Free, not a history of our constitution, because we wanted people to come. In our early times, more than 100 years ago, we had a trust and a congregation that were separate entities, one concerned with maintaining the physical assets of the church and the other concerned with the life of the church as a community. In the past 2 years, the documents dealing with our constitutional arrangements have needed to be reviewed for two reasons. Both reasons are Acts of Parliament. One is the Trusts Act 2019 and the other is the Incorporated Societies Act 2022. We are currently compliant with neither. Your management committee and the existing trustees have worked to trace the history of our constitution and to make recommendations about how we can comply with our legal obligations, and also how we can ensure that our roots continue to hold us and that our wings continue to set us free. One significant quirk of history for our congregation to appreciate is that in 1980, our trust and our congregation entities were merged without any apparent good reason. Since then, there has been significant confusion about the roles of the trust and the congregation. To fix this, the trust has been confirmed as a separate entity. This is both good practice and legally compliant. You can see if you read the paper that the management committee and other church members with historical knowledge of our church worked together to make sense of the history and have also taken legal advice to pave a way forward, in case you needed another metaphor. The result of the trust being confirmed as a distinct entity is that the congregation also needs to have a legal identity. The management committee recommends to the congregation that we become an incorporated society. There will be a vote on this recommendation in a properly constituted general meeting. One of the legal requirements of the Act is to have a constitution. We currently have rules which more or less perform that function. The constitution has to describe the purpose of the society, in this case, the congregation. Our current constitutional documents don't include a purpose statement for our community. And so we held workshops here in the church last year on the 3rd of December to find out from our members what makes them feel they belong and what they are most proud of. The outcomes of those workshops have been distilled into statements of purpose for our congregation. To foster a religious community that promotes a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, to provide worship services consistent with Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist living traditions, and to provide education, outreach, and social justice activities for the benefit of the community. Purposes are a good anchor. So many metaphors. We also need more detail to make a workable and legal compliant constitution. A subcommittee of the management committee, Betsy Marshall, Terry Childs, Jonathan Mason, and me, has reviewed existing rules to ensure that we preserve the ways of working that serve us. These have been preserved and transferred to our new draft constitution. Other features of the constitution that we haven't had before include clear processes for becoming and ceasing to be a member, provisions for conflict resolution, and a requirement to maintain an up-to-date register of members. So what next? The draft constitution is being reviewed by lawyers to ensure it is compliant. And once we've heard back from them, we will call a special general meeting for members to vote on the recommendation to become an incorporated society and to accept the new constitution. The history of our constitutional arrangements is the little told, somewhat dry stream, yes, another metaphor, of a history that includes a travelling horse-drawn bus taking Unitarianism to the people. The city's first performance pipe organ, now lovingly restored and still very much here. Long involved families, including the Mackies, mentioned on several plaques on our walls, and still very much involved, actively supporting us. Support for conscientious objectors in the world wars of the 20th century. the Workers' Education Association meeting here and performing original plays, the launching of the Rafters Folk Club in the 60s, which is still going strong, the joint ministry of Noel and Thelma Blythe, the waves of migrants, particularly from the US, who continue to find a spiritual home here, a haven for the Polynesian Panthers, who ran a homework club here in the 1970s, the joint ministry of Linda and Max Moss in the 90s, participation in the fight for marriage equality, and the holding of the first same-sex wedding legally allowed in this country, membership of the Living Wage Movement and Te Ohu Whakawhanaunga, providing sanctuary for Indian students facing deportation, Clay Nelson's ministry, described by Max Moss, Minister Emeritus, as a golden age, and countless individual stories of spiritual transformation and strength from community. Indeed, our roots hold us close and our wings set us free. Amen.
Now please join me to say the words on the screen for extinguishing the chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we all together again. The closing words that I'll read are from Erica Hewitt. It's impossible to practice living in a community, loving, flawed, diverse, surprising community, without showing up. It's that simple and that complicated, because showing up often means choosing to forgo momentary enticements or solitary pursuits by bringing yourself to worship week after week, or as often as possible. Not because you might get something out of it, but because your presence might matter to someone else, and because only by gathering together can we create that something larger that has the capacity to transform us. And now Frank, we'll play. No, we've got one more thing.
So Frank will play us the postlude. For those of you who are visitors, after the postlude, we have discussion groups. Kate puts the people in Zoom into breakout rooms, and people here form groups of about five, no more than six. And the question starter this week is, what holds you close and what sets you free? So that's your discussion for after the postlude, and Frank will now play us Sonatine Bureaucratique by Eric Satie.